We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. You already know what time it is.
Nah, nah. Welcome to the podcast. We gon' keep on pounding, juke them out. This cleats, boy, I'm too fast. Hit the field, no, we gon' spaz. CMC gon' run it back. Defense out here going crazy. Super Bowl, we want it back.
Pause up.
It's only us. Hat the top. It's time to rock. No, we won't stop. Open it up. I need that block.
Welcome in to the podcast that doesn't die. Welcome in to the podcast that never sleeps. Big shout out to the Nine Live Panther podcast members. We've been putting in that work, but we know there is always room for improvement. It's an honor to be bringing you content, and we never take it for granted. Today we're talking about the outlook of this franchise for the next 2 years. Before we get into it, please make sure you follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as subscribing to our YouTube channel, Nine Lives Panther Podcast. If I had told you midway through last season that this team would have the best defense in the league by week 4, and our QB would be throwing about 900 yards with a 70% completion percentage, I'm sure most of you would have thought I was insane. You would have asked, Teddy Bridgewater did that? No, that was Sam Darnold. You know, the guy who was killed in New York? The guy who was blamed for the woes of the Jets? I would have thought I was insane. We went from the 18th best defense in 2021, just about a year ago, to the top defense in the league. And it didn't happen overnight, even though it may seem like it. These boys have been putting in the work off field, watching film, and building chemistry. This franchise didn't trade for a superstar. We didn't trade for a big name player. It took grit and grind. Everyone, from our players to the coaches, deserve a round of applause. That right there is the true embodiment of what an NFL team should be. It's no one man's league. It's a collection of players and staff working together to make the dream a reality. Everyone wants to keep this success going. We have no time to rest and be complacent. A lot of work was put in, but this team still has holes. And if we are to continue this success for the years to come, we need to fix them. This is not to take away any success we've experienced so far. But looking at these three games, our biggest holes are mostly on the offensive line. Left tackle Cameron Irving, left guard Pat Elflein, Matt Paradis, and right guard John Miller. With Taylor Moten's return to the Panthers, it has given us some structure on the right side, but this won't last forever. Our matchups in the future include the Eagles, Washington, and the Bucks. All three of them have a top five defensive line. Now, in no means am I predicting a win or loss for any of these matchups. I am sticking by my 11 wins prediction. But disciplined defensive lines means more work for Sam Darnold and this offense. He has to get the ball out quick and be disciplined in the pocket. It's a breeding ground for misreads and errors that could possibly turn the tide of the games. The Bucks and Washington are also top teams in terms of their secondary. Top 10. Now, I'm not saying Sam will mess up and throw pick sixes, fumble the ball, but with CMC out for God knows how long, we as a team have to be disciplined. Before he went out, CMC was averaging 30 plus touches a game, and that falls on Joe Brady. You cannot put your quarterback in a position to fail by relying on a safety net. He needs to switch his vanilla offense and incorporate all the weapons you have on the team. Utilize Tremble, Chuba, Robbie. We have, so far, relied on safety nets to win games. It's either dump it out to CMC and let him get the yardage until we go to the red zone. It might work against some teams, but down the line, it will definitely come back to haunt us. So, first thing we need to work on this offseason is definitely our O-line, as well as an interior linebacker. Jermaine Carter has been disappointing. There are times where he can't read the offense and ends up covering the wrong person. It has led to yardage gain, and a touchdown, at least going back to the previous game with the Texans. We're in a pretty unique situation where we can trade up if we find a valuable player or a valuable rookie. We can trade down to get more depth. If this year's draft ends up being like last year's draft, where it's pretty deep in most positions, we could trade down, find the depth we need, and continue our success. We can also reach out to free agency. By free agency, I mean utilize our cap space and look to the market. With our newfound success, it only helps us reach out to players. Before we found the success, no one wanted to come to us. For example, this offseason, we've offered a solid package for Matt Stafford. Once he found out that Carolina was offering a package for him, he forced his way to the Rams. He did that because he did not believe in the team. There was no belief that he could win with the Panthers. He didn't want a whole situation like he had with the Lions. He didn't want to continue the cycle of mediocrity. And at the end of the day, do you really blame him? He didn't want to stay somewhere where he would ruin his career again, or what's left of it. The amount of injuries he played with in Detroit. If you're looking for another example, you don't have to go far. Just look at the NFC South. Julio Jones forced his way out of the Falcons. Another mediocre team. No one wants to play for a mediocre team. It ties hand in hand with the idea that you just have to tank. Acquire the draft picks, tank, trade for the players, or get rookies. I was one of those people. After Cam Newton injured and we were playing Kyle Allen, I said, why not? Why not tank? Accumulate the draft picks and pick the best players on the board. And what happens when we get an abundance amount of rookies? Where do you go from there? Look at the Jets. They had numerous amount of picks. Look at the Jaguars. They had the picks. Yes, you can say they didn't pick right. But even if they did, where's the leadership? And what's to say that we won't make the same mistake? Because you never know what a player will be until you draft them. If we every time we knew what we were picking, there would be no busts. That's a fact. So, we're getting off topic. Our cap space for the 2022 season, $50.4 million. We can do anything with that. Look to the market, or if you'd like, you can keep the players you have now. In terms of our O-line, I don't see us retaining Sam Tecklenburg. We might end up moving away from some of our O-line like Matt Paradis. We can add depth from the open market. There are a handful of veterans that might hit the open market, but being that this is a major position of need, I don't see us focusing on free agency too much like we did this year. I believe this year we're drafting mostly O-line, whether it be centers, we definitely need a left tackle, left guard, whatever it may be. Staying on offense, there's a handful of players we might retain, such as Brandon Zylstra, if Shai Smith isn't able to develop into his role just yet. We might end up keeping Ian Thomas as well. If Tremble grows into his pass catching tight end position, we can use Ian as a pure blocking tight end, or maybe a mix of both. But I don't really see us paying too much to retain him, since he doesn't have a great market value. That is attributed to the fact that we hardly used him last year, which might be a good thing. If we are able to retain a good player, not a great player, for the low, why not? Have him play blocking, have Tremble play as a pass catcher. Now, moving to defense, the most important player we need to think about retaining is Dante Jackson. Everyone is aware that this is his prove-it year. With us acquiring CJ from the Jags, I see the DJ moving into the slot. And hopefully he produces there. Either way, I don't see us paying him more than about $7 million a year. And that's if he can replicate his rookie year performance. And if you're curious, it was 891 snaps, with him being on 90% of them. 73 tackles, with 63 being solo, and 4 interceptions. That was his best year on the team. He's not doing so bad this year. So retaining all the players for the 2022 season we are looking to keep, our cap space comes to anywhere between $36 to $34 million. That's been perfect position to land depth from the open market and sign the rookies coming in, along with a couple of handful of million left over that transfers on to next season. 2023 is in the same picture. I'm sure we will have holes we need to fill then, continuing to improve the O-line and the parts of both offense and defense. Notable free agents on our team, though, include DJ Moore, Sam Darnold, Morgan Fox, and AJ Bouye. DJ and Sam are on their way for a big payday, I guarantee it. If they keep up their current production, DJ should look to get anywhere from a 4-year $80 million deal to a 5-year $100 million deal, maybe more. But I don't see him taking anything less than $20 million. He's played with some disappointing quarterbacks, and he has produced with them. What is there to say that he doesn't force a trade out if things don't succeed? Which I don't believe he will. I believe this is a great year for him to prove that he is a top 32 wide receiver. The media doesn't believe it. He's critically underrated. We know what he can do. So he's in a prime position to ask for whatever money he wants to. And if we're smart, we keep him. He can sit up there and say, I don't want to play for this team. Franchise tag me if you want to keep me. If not, I'll walk. But our newfound success, I'm sure will persuade him. And I don't see him getting anywhere below $20 million a year. Look for a deal around maybe 5 years, $100 million, or 4 years, $80 million. But he's definitely breaking $20 million per year. That's the least I think he deserves. Morgan Fox is doing one heck of a job too. If he continues to produce, you will also see a sizable increase in his pay. What that might be, though, I'm not exactly sure, but the 2022 season will tell us more. If he continues to ball out, I think we should continue to retain him. We should continue to keep him on the roster. The one player, though, that I'm concerned about is AJ Bouye. He is injury prone, and he's older. He might not even be on the team. If DJ stays this by the end of this year, CJ balls out, JC Horn continues to produce, I don't see him staying on the team. We can definitely go look for another cornerback. And of course, we didn't trade any of our 2023 picks. We've retained all of them. And I'm sure Scott will be hard at work being on every deal, and I don't expect that to change. Things are looking beautiful for us. And if you can't see that, you're either blind, ignorant, or you're really not paying attention. It's okay to hold your team accountable, but you have to celebrate their success at the same time. And we're doing one heck of a job so far. I'm excited to see what we do against the Cowboys. People are saying this is our real test. I don't think so. I think it's more of a quiz. One, we sure hope to look to ace. I appreciate you tuning in on a beautiful day like this. We've just recently made our social media handles. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts under 9 Lives Panther Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in again. We will catch you next time on another episode of 9 Lives, the podcast that doesn't sleep, the podcast that doesn't die. Take care, folks.